44. The bottom of a well. Modo felt his chest, but nothing seemed to be broken. The straps had bruised him in several places. He stared at the pressure gauge. They were 900 yards below the sea, right near the edge of collapse depth. Would it happen all at once? Or would the ship slowly crumple in on itself? The Actinio had settled at an angle, leaving Modo looking up toward the water's surface. It might as well be 1,000,000 miles away, he thought. Turn out the hydrogen light, the captain commanded through the speaking tube. Modo found the switch and flicked it, and the outside world went black. He saw that the spout of water into the ship had slowed. Perhaps something had shifted in the crash. The door clanked open and Serdar entered, glancing at the crack. That is a manageable leak, he said. Not good news, though. It means the forward ballast tank is more damaged than I thought. Come with me to the ballast station. Modo unstrapped himself and followed Serdar down the stairs to a narrow hallway. The angle of the Actinio was awkward and the metal floor was slippery. He was glad that there were several handholds along the wall. There are 4 forward ballast tanks, Serdar explained. I am certain that 2 of them were damaged and flooded after we struck that ridge. That is why we descended so quickly. We need to empty them and achieve positive buoyancy. We must go up. He sounded almost jolly. The Actinio will rise again, my comrade, and we will rise with her. I wish I'd seen the ridge sooner. You reacted as well as any Actinio navigator. Our luck did not hold, that is all. There is no blame. Ah, here we are. They opened another door and stepped into the same room they had entered when they'd sneaked aboard the Actinio. The pressure will make it difficult to empty the ballasts. The sea pushes in, we must push her out. The motors will have to be started manually. Serdar led Modo to a wall covered with gauges, switches, and a large crank. The question is, will they engage? And if they do, can they force the water out? It depends on where the breach is. Serdar flicked a switch near the panel and lights came on. All of the needles on the gauges were at 0. Again, our luck is bad. The batteries are dead. We must crank the motor. He struggled with the crank without success. Please let me try, Modo said. He wedged his feet into a corner, balancing himself so that he could grab the crank with both hands. It wouldn't budge. He gritted his teeth, pulled harder. At last it began to screech and turn, and the dials jumped along with it. Ah, good, good, Modo. The turning gradually became easier, and the pump motor awakened. The faster you go, the more you help the motors, Serdar said. Modo heard a scraping sound, and it felt as though his arms would fall off, but he kept working. That should push the water out of the tanks. There is a safety system which Delfina, Captain Montoriol, added for emergencies. Serdar pulled another lever. A thunk echoed in the chamber, and several of the gauges shot to the center. Success. The Actinio shifted as though nodding in agreement. We are rising off the floor. Assuming the propeller is not damaged, we will be able to ascend. Let's return to the others. They joined Captain Montoriol and Colette on the bridge. Both women were clutching handholds to keep from sliding away from their stations. Serdar explained the situation to the captain. Your backup system worked perfectly, he added. You designed it, Montoriol said. We shall fill the aft ballast to keep us pointing toward the surface. Please do so now, Miss Brunette. Colette pulled a lever, and the ship slowly vibrated and shifted again. They were at a 45-degree angle from the ocean floor. The captain peered through her periscope. We have left the seabed. Engage the propeller. The Actinio shook with the force of the propeller and began to move forward. Return to your stations, Montoriol said. Strap yourselves in. We will be making our ascent as fast as possible. We need a massive amount of momentum to penetrate the Wyvern's steel hull. The trick will be to find them. Modo glanced over at Colette, who turned to look at him. Her hair was out of place, and there was determination in her eyes. And excitement, Modo realized. She's loving this. Keep your eyes peeled, Modo, she said. You're the bravest of us all. You're brave, too, he replied. He climbed up the sloping hallway to the crow's nest, swallowing a lump of fear as he closed the door and strapped himself into the chair. Thankfully, the leak wasn't any worse. The higher they climbed, the lower the pressure would be on the hull. "Leave the light off, Modo," Montoriel said through the speaking tube. "We travel blindly for a few more minutes."